Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. I'm Elliot Danker. It is time now for the Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang. Ryan, in focus this morning, the Ministry of Trade and Industry announcing that it'll maintain Singapore's GDP growth forecast for the year, well, in light of all the heightened uncertainties in the economic environment. But they did say that they will review the forecast again next quarter when there's more data, greater clarity over the global and domestic economic situations. But what are the numbers that we're looking at this morning?
Yeah, that's a key point, clarity. And things are in such a state of flux, it is looking at both upside and downside risks. So it could swing either way between 4 to 6% or even outperform 6% or under 4%. So looking at the latest first quarter numbers, you've got the final print at 1.3%. So better than the expected forecast of 0.9% and reversing the 2.4% contraction in the previous quarter. So let's break down those numbers and find out what lies ahead for the Singapore economy with Selena Ling. She's the chief economist at OCBC Bank. Morning, Selena. How are you doing?
Morning, Ryan. I'm good.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, Selena, let's start first with the first quarter GDP numbers coming in at 1.3%. What were some of the bright spots that stood out for you?
Well, actually, the 1.3% is way above our consensus forecast and our forecast. So what was actually revised higher was the manufacturing sector, benefiting from the electronics, precision engineering and chemicals cluster uptake. We also saw services contraction coming in milder than expected compared to the flash estimates. I think we are seeing that recovery in the domestic consumption story, and finance and insurance and also demand for infocoms remains relatively healthy. But the drag really was on construction. We actually saw that it contracted 22.7% year on year. I think construction will remain the laggard for now.
Yeah, manufacturing expanded 10.7%. Construction was down 22.7%. F&B, of course, also down 9.4%, but at least looking at improving from the prior quarter of 19%. So look at what the MTI said in terms of keeping its forecast 4 to 6%, but it's looking at both upside and downside risks. Let's start with the outlook first for Singapore. How much of a dent is it with the current restrictions for the growth in the coming quarters?
Well, I think it's interesting because MPI mentioned that the new bias rules itself doesn't necessitate a GDP growth forecast downgrade. I think if you look at the existing forecast of 4 to 6%, actually the 4% is a relatively conservative forecast already. So at the April monetary policy statement, there were hints that the full year growth forecast could actually exceed the 6% ceiling. So I guess we have, you know, taken one step back to relook at the picture given the recent announcements that probably second quarter will see a bit of a setback. But if you put that together with the upside surprise on the first quarter, we are probably still in kind of like the 5.5 to 6% range for the full year. So it's a little bit of a plus on the first quarter, a little bit of a minus on the second quarter. If you look at the external environment, obviously the US, Europe and China are doing better than expected. But of course, on the Asia side, you have India, Malaysia, Indonesia and some of the other ASEAN countries also seeing the resurgence of COVID and hence a little bit of a slowdown because of the tightening of measures again.
Yeah, and those tightening of measures, of course, the construction, there's going to be a bit of labour tightness there. And on the F&B side, restaurants having a bit of headwinds in terms of large-scale events and gatherings. They can't cater for these type of events. And the real estate sector, also some turbulence there because people are starting to readjust to the demands that they need in terms of space. So looking at the quarters hit, there's quite a bit of an uneven picture. What's your take on how this picture is emerging, and do you see the need for more stimulus packages soon?
Well, I think we have seen some very targeted and calibrated measures to help, for instance, the construction sector because of the manpower crunch that's happening, and also in terms of the the taxi drivers, for instance, and some of the hawkers. My sense is that the story now is still very, very mixed at this juncture. If the measures get extended, for instance, into the third quarter, then I think that would actually will see a rising probability of more stimulus coming on stream, probably on the fiscal side rather than on the monetary side. So I think there's still room to provide some very targeted assistance programs. So it wouldn't surprise me, you know, if the need be, that they could possibly extend some of the support schemes that are already in place, like the job support scheme for the Tier 1 industries, and even a temporary bridging loan, possibly till the end of the year instead of the earlier expiry date.
All right, we're chatting with Selena Ling. She's the Chief Economist for OCBC Bank, helping us to break down the latest GDP final print for the first quarter, 1.3%. And Selena, turning our attention to the external demand drivers, the US, the Eurozone, and of course the big three in Asia, China, Japan, and India. Where are the trajectories in terms of recovery for these places?
Well, I think it's the glass really half full and half empty. Because if you look at the US and Europe, they're talking about, you know, loosening of COVID-19 measures, opening up some of the travel borders to those who are vaccinated, for instance. And China, if you look in terms of the economic recovery, they were the first in, first out of the pandemic, and they are clearly on a fairly resilient path for now. But if you look within Asia itself, obviously the situation in India and Japan, for instance, is still very, very dynamic and evolving very quickly on the COVID front. And in fact, if you just look across the border, we've had Malaysia basically tightening its MCO 3.0 measures as well. So I think for Asia itself, we are seeing the flip side of a lot of the G3 economies, with the exception of China. We are actually going through this resurgent COVID phase and measures are being tightened. So it will be a setback for second quarter growth momentum, potentially dragging into the third quarter as well. So, you know, the takeaway from all this is that actually we haven't seen the last of COVID and the recovery trajectory is still very, very fluid at this juncture.
Yeah, it might take some time for things to clear up. And Selena, finally, just to wrap things up, back home in Singapore, we had the inflation data out yesterday. So we saw it hit a 7-year high. So CPI inflation accelerated to 2.1% in April from 1.3% in March. What are your thoughts on this? What's the takeaway from here for inflation?
I think we have to remember that the base last year was very low because we were in a circuit breaker period. So we are seeing rising commodity prices from compared to a year ago as the global recovery gets underway. So there is a bit of that consumption story coming back as, you know, labour markets start to recover. I don't think we need to get too carried away by the year-on-year numbers. I think a lot of the policymakers, including the Federal Reserve, are very clear that they see this as transitory, that this inflation surge is going to play itself out by the end of this year. I think their concern is really more in terms of trying to anchor inflationary expectations for the medium term. And they want to ensure that, you know, the economic recovery is robust enough to have, you know, to bridge this ups and downs of the COVID crisis itself. So I don't think anyone is in a very big hurry to pull or to withdraw policy stimulus. I think, if anything, very much they are in the wait-and-see mode for now, and they're quite cautious about pulling the rug out from policy stimulus too early.
Yeah, wait-and-see mode, and fingers crossed for things to get better. I'm chatting with Selena Ling. She's the Chief Economist for OCBC Bank, helping us to break down the latest first quarter GDP numbers for Singapore at 1.3%. Selena, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you. Bye.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.